Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. And I welcome back Dominic, although I saw you over the course of the weekend. And of course, we're welcoming back Fancy Brian from the happiest place in the world, is it? Or just America?
Happiest place on earth is what they call it.
Oh, Disneyland. It's a little sadder that you've left the premises, my big buddy.
I'm not entirely sure, but all right.
You know, the audience is really enjoyed the end drops today, or at least I have. It's good to have you back. Evan, lightly screening the phone calls here with me and Madison at 844-967-2789. But Dom, I was regaling the audience, those that missed the Fox News appearance.
Yeah?
I didn't burn it down, man. I let them down. I let the audience
down.
Oh, that's
all right, man.
I didn't have, you know, the right topic because I had one of two thoughts. I either wanted to give him the Maria Bartiromo treatment, you know, like, can't you give me all the answers like you do for Trump? I want the Maria Bartiromo treatment, something of that effect. Or the other alternative, if they asked me about the disinformation board, I had sold myself right on the concept of calling Fox News a disinformation network. I was prepared to do that on live TV.
I get it, man. Well, the good news is, you know, after a fun night out, you didn't crap the bed. You didn't blow it up, but, you know, it was a fine enough interview for 5.5 minutes.
Oh, man. I was hammered about 5.5 minutes before I went on air with Fox News. It was a long night. You know, I was home by midnight. I did tip the Uber driver well.
Yeah, excellent. It was a glorious evening, and it's a glorious day. Fancy Brian, welcome back. I hope the testicle tanning has worked out for you down in Florida. You look pretty fun, buddy. And Evan, our fair audience, thank you for joining us. Creed, I got to tell you, after yes. Saturday, great time. Great to see you and most of the college buddies. Joe,
you leakers.
Chad, come on, man. But today, man, right back at it, seeing the news and breaking, some convictions from the treasonous traitors, the assaulters, those who attacked the Capitol. Let's jump into just a couple of them.
Are we talking about just Senate nominees that Trump has endorsed?
Yeah,
there's
right.
Lots
no.
of allegations against
no,
lots
of people.
No,
this is entirely separate. This does not include those people. From the AP, Thomas Weber, a 20-year NYPD veteran, was the first Crudy Capitol riot defendant to be tried on an assault charge and the first to present a jury with a self-defense argument.
And then they pulled out the videotape of him kicking a cop, right?
Jurors deliberated for less than 3 hours before they convicted Webster of all six counts in his indictment, including a charge that he assaulted Metropolitan Police Department officers with a dangerous weapon, that being a metal flagpole. The assault charge alone is punishable by up to 20 years in prison, although sentencing guidelines likely will recommend a significantly shorter prison term. Webster, 56, testified that he was trying to protect himself from a rogue cop who punched him in the face. So apparently Black Lives Matter. He also accused the officer of instigating the confrontation. Yeah, get out of here, you guys. You can't come in. He testified, the cop, that he did not punch or pick a fight with Webster as a violent mob attacked the Capitol, disrupting Congress, yada, yada. Two jurors spoke to reporters after the verdict, said videos capturing the officer's assault from multiple angles were crucial evidence to rebut Webster's self-defense argument. A quote, I guess we're all surprised that he would even make that defense argument, said a juror who spoke on the condition of anonymity. There is no dissension among us at all. We unanimously agreed that there was no self-defense argument at all. So that didn't stack up a conviction. Let's see if we have.
Well, he should have caught the Rittenhouse jury, apparently.
I don't see what the time is, but there's another conviction today as well. This one from NBC News. Kevin,
I thought
Creek,
that was a sentencing. The second story you referenced.
Yes,
already
this is
convicted.
The sentencing.
Now
already,
it's time,
yes, correct,
to pay the man,
and he is paying with some time. Kevin Creek, a 47-year-old Marine, sentenced to 27 months in prison for assaulting officers on January 6th. He was arrested in June, pled guilty in December, as Crudy mentioned, when he admitted to striking a D.C. police officer in the hand, pushing a Capitol Police officer, and kicking the same officer. At sentencing, Creek apologized to the officers and to his family. I take full responsibility. I went to D.C. with just the intention of going to the rally with some friends. It was very impulsive what I did. It was very bad judgment.
He got caught up in the
moment.
In the bully, the ballyhoo going on.
I know I have to be punished for this. I'm truly sorry.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
The judge said she believed Creek's apology was genuine and heartfelt, but she said he still committed a serious felony offense by participating in the unprecedented attack on the Capitol. They noted that in court filings last week that Creek brought a first aid kit, mace, a boot knife, and binoculars to D.C. And decided to go toe-to-toe with the officers. Quote, he came to D.C. prepared for violence. He made a deliberate choice to join this large, out-of-control crowd at the Capitol. He was determined to get to the front line, even though his friends stayed behind. So it goes on and on, but 27 months, man. I mean, that's some good time.
Well,
I'm okay
with
that.
That's more than a slap on the wrist
for
hitting a guy in the hand, apparently.
Right.
Well, that guy happens to be a cop, though. Apparently, he wasn't one of those peaceful, patriotic sort of protesters that Ron Johnson keeps talking about. Must be
no weapons, a knife, I guess a boot knife. That doesn't count. I mean, what a boot knife? You know, come on. You're going to go to the Capitol with a boot knife? This is how you're going to protest? And again, I got to say, anybody that showed up to that Capitol with, you know, some sort of armor on, well, they knew what was down. It's like the Red Wedding, of course. So the good news, this is great news. We have, you know, convictions, of course. Now we have sentencing, a pretty heavy sentence for one of these POSs involved in this. And this other guy, you know, claiming self-defense, 3 hours convicted. Also the RNC, Crudy, perhaps you got to this earlier today, RNC and the Salesforce issue, you know, of course, J6 wanting to get access to the emails. Did the fundraising emails from the RNC, was this helpful for the rioters? Well, I would certainly think so. RNC was fighting it. They, according to the judge, they have to turn that info, at least Salesforce does. Now, they're going to give them a few days to perhaps go appeal that. But again, a little small victories. I'm feeling good about this stuff. Crudy, and of course, Trump, well, he just wants to shoot people in the legs. Can't you just shoot him in the legs? You got to be kidding me, man.
I know. I had to lead with that. The new reporting from the book by Mark Esper, former, defense secretary, cabinet-level secretary under Donald Trump. He was subsequently fired. I heard Trump only hired the best people, but apparently he also got around to firing most of them, including Mark Esper. And Mark Esper's book was vetted multiple times by different members of the Pentagon, four-star generals, whatever. And many of them, apparently, at least according to the reporting I had seen, bore witness to the same event. And the event you allude to, Dominic, Donald Trump asking to have protesters shot after the death of George Floyd in the Black Lives Matter protests that happened in D.C., wanted them shot. Not killed, just maimed.
Just maimed. Yeah, just maimed them a little bit.
Shoot him in the leg. Shoot him in the leg.
What did he say? And I did do a little reading on this today once, because it was somewhat familiar to me. I mean, I think I kind of remember at the time there was some, you know, debate, controversy, of course, there always was with Trump, but specifically about violence with the protesters. And I did find a tweet from May 29th of 2020 where he referenced when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Oh, you're talking about Trump back when he had a Twitter account?
Yeah, back when he had a Twitter account. Of course, that was flagged back then, eventually kicked off. But
you can't
yeah,
see
I mean,
that?
That's
you
Trump.
Shouldn't encourage the shooting?
No, he wasn't encouraging shooting. He just said it was a fact. That was his defense from the Business Insider.
Which brings us back to the Rittenhouse and the justifiable homicide, the self-defense claims that apparently stood up for him. 844-967-2789. The gang's all back. We got Mark on the phones. Welcome back, Mark, from the SAC. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Yeah, not much. Michael gave him a man that even an inflatable dummy can't love. That it is just incredible that this, you know, Gableman is just, you know, Voss has got to have no character at all if he, you know, didn't immediately go out and fire Gableman today. That because Gableman stabs him in the back.
The only reason he hired Gableman was to keep Trump from kicking his ass. Rhetorically, right? Directing the crazy MAGA crowd, maybe endorsing his primary opponent. So, I mean, anything he gets from Gableman, Brutus.
Wasn't Gableman on the steps of the Capitol with Voss's primary opponent, who then called Voss a treasonous traitor?
Well, he didn't correct him.
Can we just say it, Mark? Can we say it? The Republican Party is in disarray. I mean, they're fighting each other to be who's. It is insanity what's going on in the Republican Party. Let's say it. Let's say it. Do you agree with me, Mark? Is the Republican Party in disarray?
I agree. They're in complete disarray because none of them can stand up to Donald Trump. And when they actually stand and make a peep about Donald Trump kind of shakes his tiny fist that's indicated of something else, you know, to show that. How tough he is, and but the Republicans have no intestinal fortitude at all. I mean, absolutely none. And Michael Gableman, the yap about all these things are supposed to be nonpartisan. Michael Gableman was a partisan from the start. Back in after the election, he talked about that Trump won and Biden lost, and this is just but he's just a scam artist from the first. And if he's setting up for a Supreme Court run, it's time to get ready to kick his ass. Come next spring. I mean, when Rogan Sack leaves, wind up a good candidate and crush the Republicans.
Crush them like bugs. I'm crushing your head, Gableman. You know, he's got a big head. I don't know if I could do it with the fingers, you know, like Kids in the Hall style. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More for your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
If I did a tenth of what she did, I would be in jail today.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Hey, man, is that Freedom Rock?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy, happy hour to us all. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you know why I'm playing? And actually, Fancy Brian doing all the heavy lifting, but I made the ask, so I'm taking the credit. You know why I ask for the Sweet Home Alabama?
You're a big fan of Southern Rock?
Less so. Because the president of the United States, in this case, Joe Biden made a little stop in Sweet Home Alabama down at a Lockheed Martin plant. apparently he's campaigning and, you know, supporting the war in Ukraine by going to a, you know, military establishment, a manufacturing base of mass destruction.
A military contractor in Alabama. Yeah. I mean, all right.
Yeah, but the fact is Joe doesn't make a lot of trips down south. I don't think he's crossed the Mason-Dixon line prior. You'd have to look
it up. I've seen reporting that Joe is threatening to, you know, go out in the midterms and really pound the pavement. Do you buy that, and what's your expectation?
Well, I don't think you need to bother pounding the pavement in Alabama. You're not going to find many friendly voters down there in the deep South. Not if you're Joe Biden. They're going to, you know, regale you with the Let's Go Brandon chant, perhaps. But you're not going to find a lot of real supporters, not for this presidency. It's too bad. You know, he offers a lot to
But don't you go there anyway? That's not why you go on Fox News, because you want to try to convince one or two or three people, and they take three of their friends, and they get three of their friends, and the next thing you don't know, you got a political movement? I mean,
well, or a pyramid scheme, one or the other. No, I don't fault the president for going to Alabama. I think it's perhaps a good thing. It's just a little unusual when Joe Biden goes down south. Look it up. I'm just telling you, I don't think he's taking a lot of
I get it. But do you think, I mean, do you believe the reporting that Joe Biden's going to get out there on the campaign trail and start hammering the Republicans during these midterms? And if so, what would you like to see from the Democratic Party, from the leader, the president of the Democratic Party, President Joe Biden? What would you like to see from his efforts for the midterms?
I don't think he's going to swing Mo Brooks's seat. I'm not sure. When you are the president of the free world, you know, when you are the most important man in the world, positionally speaking, I know you think you are, but, you know, probably some would defer to the president.
Right. Well,
we've only got
might.
So
They'd
many days on the calendar, so many places you can stump, so many places you can go. And I don't know if I'd have started, you know, the first leg of my Southern strategy with the trip to, you know, a war machine manufacturer in Alabama. I don't know if I'd
We got to retool, man. We got to restock. We're sending all sorts of war machinery over to Ukraine.
Well, if he's going to go anywhere, how about he goes down to Florida and sticks it in Ron DeSantis's ear? Why don't you go down to Florida? I mean, Ron DeSantis thinks he's going to win Florida big. He's going to pivot immediately. He's going to follow the ever successful Scott Walker tact and pivot immediately to running for president. So about a year from now, Ron DeSantis will be filthy in Iowa. He'll be filthy in Iowa by end of next summer, even spring of next year. All he will be doing is spending time in New Hampshire and Iowa. And if he doesn't run, the gob of money that he's raised, well, Donald Trump could effectively seize the DeSantis money for his own reelective campaign. So it's going to come to a head.
Wait, how does that work?
Well, he is the head of the Republican Party, and if you're sitting on
But if I give money to Ron DeSantis, you're going to tell me that somehow Trump gets access to that money?
Well, Trump can call in the chips. I am telling you, Ron DeSantis would end up giving a big chunk of his war chest to the Donald Trump campaign for president in 2024.
I think it's just more of the disarray, man. I mean, I look forward to that fight. You know, a couple of wackadoodles, Don Trump and DeSantis in Florida, each with gobs of money, going after each other and splitting this party and splintering it. I mean, can't even say split. I'm going to say splinter, man. There's so many different wackadoodle factions of this party right now. It's kind of sad in some regards, but in some way it's very, very poetic in like a Martin Scorsese kind of way.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure if Joe Biden's going to earn local media coverage in Alabama. What's he going to be on the local lefty talk station down in Muscle Shores? Yeah. You know, he'd be better off going to Florida. Lots of media markets. That'd be earned media. You know, he wouldn't have to pay for it. He could just go down there and darken the doorstep of Ron DeSantis. And Ron could either go meet the president on the tarmac. If you'll recall, I think even Wanker had to go meet Barack Obama when he'd come to town, right? Yeah. So anyways, will Ron DeSantis meet him on the tarmac? I think he'd almost have to, wouldn't he? Ceremonially speaking, what's he got a more important date washing his hair?
Well, I mean, you would think so, but, you know, don't look to history or tradition anymore, man. I mean, I don't think that those things matter or play anymore. Not in today's political environment, certainly not with the GOP.
Who's the former Republican turned Democrat, Christie or whatever? Not Chris Christie, but who's the Dems' best hope in Florida? Guy who's going to get beat by double digits, probably.
I don't even know.
I think it's Republican turned Democrat. I think it's the former senator. I can't remember.
Oh, right. Yeah. White hair, really tan. Imagine that coming from Florida.
Like he spent some time on the beach. Getting rid of his tan lines, getting rid of his low T problem, if you know what I'm saying. Well,
exactly. Some testicle tanning.
Now, I've seen some pictures of Fancy Brian out there on the beach by the Trump place in Miami. You know, there was a nude beach last time Dom and I went to Miami. We did broadcast from the boardwalk, but there was a nude beach like two places down just past the Trump Towers. And I'm shocked that Dom didn't, you know, take care of his low T condition, get some tanning in. We never did make it to the nude beach.
No, we talked about it, never made it. But I did remember there are a lot of Russian-speaking folks down in Miami when we were down there. Lots and lots. And they had lots of young girls hanging around them as well.
Yeah, they look like Russian mobsters at that one club we went to. Maybe we were the ones out of place.
Never.
Come back with us. You're always at home with the Devil's Advocates. We'll get you home safe. You can always join the party. 844-967-2789.
Crime, corruption, immorality, abortion, sodomy, sexual perversion, sweep our land.
I'm Satan reincarnated.
I want it freed from political correctness and social experimentation.
Have at it.
And then we will be straight.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree. Yeah.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. Roll it on with some Journey.
Is that Journey? Wow, really living up the 80s, aren't we, Crudy?
Now, I had to look up Charlie Crist, the former governor of the state of Florida. He's currently a congressman, and he's currently the Democratic opponent to Ron DeSantis.
Well, one of a few. Nikki Fried also, and then a couple other, not clear on who this is, Annette Tadeo and David Nelson Freeman.
Well, Charlie Crist is the former governor of Florida. I suspect he has the highest name recognition amongst the Democratic challengers trying to take on the champ. And Charlie Crist is currently running ads in the Orlando area. Apparently, Ron DeSantis, his little battle with Disney, the Don't Say Gay Bill.
And
Disney responded. And he responded by taking away their little municipality, their little Vatican.
Well, not just DeSantis. I mean, the Republican, you know, in their state
assembly. The legislature had to go
along with it as well.
Right?
I mean, they were all down with it.
Well, you know, I watched John Oliver last night, This Week Tonight on, you know, the HBO. And a little bit I noticed here, and he took on DeSantis and a few others like Greg Abbott. But a little of the John Oliver coverage. He began with Governor Ron DeSantis, who has waged war with Disney World because they dared to come out against the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill. The GOP legislature then voted to strip Disney of all its benefits given by Florida. The problem that the state is now facing is that deal was made with Disney, is that if Florida ever withdrew from the deal, they would be on the hook for bonds that total about $1 billion. And when asked for a plan about how Florida is going to pay for this decision to dissolve Disney's district, DeSantis' office said the governor's office does not have a written plan on how the dissolution will proceed. And then they played a clip of DeSantis, and he started with the trust me, and he ended with the trust me. And when a guy in the same thing tells you to trust him twice. Trust me. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Do you have a plan? Trust me. We don't have a plan.
Well, it's very Trumpy. I mean, trust me. In 2 weeks, we are going to get the repeal and replace, the replacement.
Believe me. In two weeks.
It's always coming in 2 weeks. Everything's coming down. It'll be 2 weeks. We're working on it. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, so
Believe me.
Anyways, here's where John Oliver sort of picked up the commentary. You know, as DeSantis's office pointed out, they don't actually have a plan to proceed. And John Oliver says, of course it doesn't. But look, do I think it's bad that Disney pays more taxes? No, I don't. That would be a good thing. I don't love that it would happen without meaningful tax reform. But on the whim of one right-wing dip, beep, who is scared of gay people, who doesn't understand the First Amendment, but hey, ends, means, what are you going to do about it?
Here's what I'm going to throw out there. Since this plan that is not a plan, but the legislation has gone through Florida. It doesn't start. It does not enact until June of 2023. You know, notice they didn't make it happen right now.
Not before the midterms.
Right. When you have, so how much you want to bet that after the midterms, this is all just kind of goes away. They don't enact a plan. That's I'm taking that position.
I bet
they're never going to do it because they cannot possibly raise the taxes on for $1 billion in like two counties in Florida. They're just not going to do it.
Remember when, well, here's what you might have missed though, Dom. Those counties, they're Dem leaning. Could be a win-win as far as DeSantis is concerned. So you stick every taxpayer in two counties with an extra $2,000 in state property taxes.
But if
they're Democratic-leaning, it's kind of like when Trump let all the people in New York die of COVID, or at least that was his plan, because that's a blue city.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, how Democratic-leaning are we talking? I mean, if you're talking 55-45, I mean, this is Florida. This Florida goes red, right? So whatever leaning they have is not much. So what you're doing is martyring all your, what, Republican voters? Ah, don't worry about it. Just pick it up. It's asinine. They have no plan. This whole thing was a terrible marketing ploy. And it doesn't, they didn't enact it until what, June of 2023? Like, I'm going to stick it to those people next year in like a year and a half. You're really going to get it. I mean, what a joke.
Hey, man, if personal pettiness and political ambition aren't a good enough reason for you to stick
to two counties
worth of taxpayers.
If you believe it, do it now. Why are you waiting until 2023? I mean, if you really think, damn Disney and they're grooming our kids, if you believe that Disney characters are making everybody gay and trans, why would you not enact that right now? Because it's a joke. That's why. They're not going to do it.
It's a small world after all, I guess.
if that is the case, and they believe that to be the case, then by delaying this bill, they are going to allow for another 14 or 15 months of grooming the kids. And why would you do that if you think this is so dangerous for the children? You want to enact parental rights, which they could do if they joined the school board or showed up at the kids' conferences or gave a damn about, you know, sometimes it's not the teachers, this is bad parenting. Yes, I said it. If that's the case, then you do it right now. If there's a child serial child rapist running around the city, are you going to not look for them for a year and a half? No, you're going to put your best people on it right now because this must stop. That's not okay. But in DeSantis' world in Florida, we'll let the rapes go on for another year and a half, and then we'll eventually get to it. I mean, that's the logic here, and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, in regards to rapes, if you'll recall, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, was going to push the easy button, right? You know, they got a means of solving rapes, but you got to reelect him first, and then all the rapes will go away. Right. That was his claim, and You talk about, you know, if we knew there were pedophile, you know, statutory rapist out there at minimum, right? Grooming, they would do something about it. And I would point towards Congressman Matt Gaetz as Exhibit A that no, they wouldn't.
Sure.
No, they wouldn't.
They give them money for college. I mean,
careful what you Venmo, fella.
It is just this party. It is a disaster. Disarray is like too nice of a term to describe what is going on with the GOP and the Republican Party.
You get left out of a couple coke-fueled orgies and you're doing nothing
but casting shade. Who says I was left out, man? I got the inside info.
844-967-2789.
I have to ask, is there a newsletter or something? Do you guys like have a cereal? They're like, how does it work?
Coke-fueled orgies this weekend daily? Something like that?
.com.
We got a website.
I got a business card. It's all legit and everything.
RNC.com.
Whatever you desire.
It is. And again, to reiterate the court case that they lost with the Salesforce thing and the efforts that are being put into examining what's been going on in the Republican Party from the lawsuits, from the investigations, and the court cases they all lost. I mean, this is a party. You can't even point to a philosophy for the Republicans anymore, right? It's not family values. It's not fiscal conservatism. You know, I mean, it's white Christian nationalism. That's essentially it. And F everybody else and F your feelings. I mean, that's right. Trump 2024, no more BS. Those are the flags we've been seeing around, right?
Yeah, because because that's what we need. We need the straight and narrow days of Donald Trump back again. You know, instead of the swampy, corrupt Joe Biden administration, because Hunter's, what do they call it, the laptop from hell? You know, that's the problem with
the
Democrats.
Biden crime family.
You get like one supposed scandal of the entire Democratic Party, and then Republicans are able to focus on it because it's the only freaking scandal. You know, but what do Republicans do? They got scandals coming out of our asses, man.
Well, it's not like what are they going to do?
They're flooding the zone with corruption and scandals.
What have they done?
And if there's one Hunter Biden laptop, well, both sides do it. Everybody's corrupt.
No, it's not both sides do. It's not both sides bold-faced lie. It's not both sides, you know, perjure themselves. It's not both sides don't show up for voluntary testimony as a member of Congress to a congressional committee investigating, you know, a usurping of power and a blocking of the peaceful transfer of power in this country. This is not a matter of both sides do it. And when someone comes out and lies, there's no other side of the lie in the reporting. And I know, what's his name? Trevor Noah did the press conference. And I'm always kind of torn.
White House Correspondents Dinner. I'm glad to fill in all your lost memories and thoughts.
Yeah, that's fine. You get the details. You know, the big party with all the press people. And I saw a few clips, and the way he wrapped it up, you know, comparing and looking at, you know, Ukraine and how journalists around the world react and what you do with it. And we are kind of spoiled. I think my takeaway was this is, wow, you know, really, we are, as a society, and certainly as journalists, somewhat spoiled. Because you don't do this for fear of your life. I don't fear for my life. Trevor Noah didn't fear for his life. Biden
you weren't
wasn't
at
gonna
that
poison.
Last Trump rally in Des Moines with me, fella.
Yeah. Well, not normally. That's not how we endeavor to live as a society. I think most people would agree to that. You know, you don't get to kill your political opponents just because you disagree with them. That's why we engage in governance the way that we do. That's why we have.
Well, you haven't met Robin Voss's primary opponent, have you? The esteemed Mr. Steen. You know,
no,
you take
I
that traitorous,
not.
Treasonous Robin Voss. What's the punishment for the crime of treason?
And the traitor, treasonous Robin Voss, for what reason exactly? Because Robin Voss didn't go along with the big lie? That's why he's a treasonous traitor? I mean, one thing to say, like the guy that Derek Van Ordener, you know, some of these folks that participated in the insurrection, in the riot. You know,
you mean third congressional Republican candidate Derek Van Orden?
Man, I love it when you fill those details, man. I appreciate that. But yes, I mean, what's Robin Voss's crime? I mean, literally. And I'm not a fan of Robin Voss, but
philandering?
Treason is traitor for what?
I think that's a criminal offense. No, he's moved on through three or four wives, if I recall. One of the exes apparently had a little problem with voter fraud, at least if I recall the details. But, you know, if it's
it
in the family,
Republican
it's,
Party. Yeah,
it's all good.
No leaks. That's how you know we're family here, right, Speaker? So the Republican Party in the disarray that it is, and you know, Janelle Branch and, you know, the Republican election assembly committee person, you know, she is the anti-Voss, right? I mean, so they're pitting the party here locally, here in the state of Wisconsin, certainly in the state of Michigan as well. And I would venture across this country, this party is eating itself alive. Lindsey Graham said it, and we're seeing it come to fruition. If Donald Trump gets elected, the party's going to go to hell, and they deserve it. And they do, and they are. Now, the question is, you know, what does the only other responsible party that's really left, what do they do, and how do you take advantage of it? How do you provide for the people, right? If you're going to talk about, you know, DeSantis's platform to, you know, don't say gay and go after Disney and not enact it until 2023, great plan. All right, are people hungry in your state? Are people starving in your state? Are people unemployed in your state? Are the roads, how are the, I mean, I,
well,
what are you
all the meth use doing? Cuts the hunger, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that what
you
it
do
is?
Enough meth, you just don't get hungry, Dom. And there, anything Florida is known for, it's proliferation of meth use.
What is the platform of the Republican Party? Who is the
meth
the
for everyone?
Republican that's sounds very socialist, Rudy. Who's paying for the meth?
Mike Lindell, of course.
So, I mean, really, really, and this absolute lack of vision and clarity of anything other than looking back at 2020 and talking trash about people you don't like, I mean, that's not a message. That's not inspirational. You know,
you got a
they're
problem
terrible.
With trash talking people I don't like, because that's kind of half
saying,
my
I mean,
gig.
That's all you have to offer, Crudy. I know you could at least, you know, put out some ideas to, I don't know, legalizing weed would be one. I mean, that's an easy one, right? Some low-hanging fruit for Republicans out there, and they don't have any. It's the war on culture and F the gays.
Well, there's one marijuana-supportive Republican, John Boehner, former Speaker. Only he's been alleged to have created some sort of data breach. He stole the email addresses of all the stoners. You know, it's all like Denver420@AOL.com, right? You know, you're not really getting names and addresses here, John. Wasn't worth wrecking your weed future over. But apparently he did. His word on the street with stoners is back to being mud. More devils.
Get her.
That was your whole plan. Get her.
Believe me.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Hopefully we're not going to have to plan for that. Believe me. We have not planned for that. Believe me.
Everybody.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of this Monday happy hour. You can join us on the program at 844-967-2789.
I see Tony Evers found his checkbook. Tony's going up big on the boob tube. $3.5 million big. I guess all the Clayfish and Tim Michaels ads, he's feeling a little left out. Thought he better go make his own case, because they are not exactly making a case for Tony Evers' reelection, are they, Dom?
Well, that's okay. Let the Republicans, you know, pound it out a little bit. The right Wisconsin Now is coming out against, Michaels for living half the time or just under half the time out on the East Coast in a big mansion. So he must be a, you know, East Coast millionaire.
Elitist, liberal.
Elitist, yes.
I thought honestly. Only liberals lived in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really looking forward to at least two dates this summer. More than,
what's that?
More than two, but two especially. Friday, May 20th, because that will be the night that the GOP convention, Great State of Wisconsin, comes to my backyard. I'm gonna make my way over to the Marriott, invite myself to the festivities, and see what goes on there. Because, Dom, the Republicans intend to offer an endorsement in their primaries in May. And the other day that's going to be quite interesting will be, I believe it's August 9th, which is actual primary day. So the Republicans will offer their endorsement in May, and then the entire Marriott's going to burn down. It'll be a five-alarm fire. And then what's left of the ashes, you know, of Rantham's candidacy and perhaps Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish, and the fact that Right Wisconsin's coming out and attacking Tim Michaels, you know, they're giving a little air support to our pal Becky Big Lie Clayfish. That's the only explanation, man. The establishment... they've already made their choice. Clayfish is their choice because she's an extension of the Walker administration.
But she's also hedging her bet and saying what the last election was rigged. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, right? So even though she's established, and even though I would suggest she probably doesn't believe that, she's still going to come out and say that.
Well, I don't think the vast majority of Republicans believe that. I think she's screwing herself electorally, strategically, because you can't etch a sketch and hedge back from the big lie. You know, once you've decided, right, rigged elections, part of my campaign platform, and that's what Becky Clayfish did last week. She became Big Lie Becky. Up until then, she was suburban housewife Becky. She's former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. You know, but now she's Big Lie Becky, and she's not going to live that down. I'm not going to let her forget that she tacked to the big lie, because there's only one plausible explanation for that. A, she's afraid of Nichols, Tim Michaels, my bad. And B, she knows that's where the engagement in the Republican base is. But if you look and you contrast that with the opinions of Wisconsinites, especially independents, even reasonable Republicans, They find this a distasteful, a disastrous platform. They don't want to relitigate 2020. That's like 30% of Republicans.
I mean, the Wall Street Journal came out today.
Called Gableman a hack.
Oh, my God. It was just a brutal slaying of Gableman and Wisconsin in general, specifically the Republicans. The Wall Street Journal. I mean, come on. This isn't Rolling Stone magazine. This isn't High Times. This isn't Mad Magazine, man. This is the Wall Street Journal. And they're going, what? What, Gableman, if you're not a double agent, you're sure as hell acting like one.
Specifically, Dominic, let me see if I can find that headline. The Republican Party of, oh, pardon me, the Republican plot to lose Wisconsin in 2022. Apparently, it involves relitigating, and they mentioned specifically in the first two paragraphs, Becky Clayfish tacking to the big lie.
Oh,
rigged
no.
Rigged elections.
Yes, here we go.
Strategically, I think that's a bad call.
Strategically?
Reparations moving forward in the Tulsa race massacre in the federal court. Reparations.
I'm sorry, say that again? Reparations?
CNN reporting breaking news. Sorry, it caught my attention. A district court judge allows a reparations lawsuit to move forward in a decision that could hold America accountable for the Tulsa race massacre. And
good.
I think perhaps our friend Anthony will call back. He's been the reparations guy the whole time.
Yeah,
you know that's your advocacy, Anthony. 844-967-2789. You know, CJ still wants reparations for Whitey because Whitey's got it bad.
I mean, when a rich white guy's going to catch a break?
Wisco Paul, welcome back. What do you got, man?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, yeah. Good afternoon, Devils. Good show as always. But let's do a quick quiz on Wisconsin here, you two. The Assembly is gerrymandered red. The Senate is gerrymandered red for the next 10 years. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, maybe a swing vote, but otherwise
well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court's in play next April, Paul. We could win back the election. We could win the majority on the court next April. Rogan Sack,
I sure hope so.
There will not be a conservative incumbent. Effectively, we'll have an unmanned Supreme Court seat. And as near as I can tell, the front runner from the conservative side is Dan Kelly. The Scott Walker appointee who got crushed by Kurofsky by 163,000 votes. I'd say bring a little, you know, either Gableman or Kelly, one or the other. I'd love to see as the Republican representative in the primaries.
Well, God help us if either one of them get elected. But then you got the fall election here with Tony Crudy and Don. What will this state look? I hate to even bring this up. What would this state look like with Rebecca as governor, with a Assembly Republican, a Senate Republican? I don't have the words for that, but the Wall Street Journal would probably be writing more articles. With that, please, everybody in the audience, contemplate that for a minute and go vote. I don't think I can handle a red state. Hey, keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Wisco Paul.
Thank you, Paulie.
My only thought for the Evers campaign, because now he's in campaign mode, right? He's spending the money. He's making the pitch. And I appreciate that. I think that candidates need to make a pitch to the voters. You've got to ask for their vote. And I think that Tony Evers would be smart to say, hey, you know, I'd really appreciate another chance to do right by you.
Well, here's what I've done, and here's what I wanted to do but was unable to do because of the Republicans, and here's what I would do. I mean, yeah, that's good. It's getting to be that time.
But Tony's also got to come out in the public, ran up to the Wisconsin State Capitol today. Mandela Barnes was there with the kids, the East High School, La Follette High School kids, Voces de la Frontera. They marched on the Capitol, and they brought the lieutenant governor on. He was the first speaker. Christine Newman Ortiz introduced the LT, the lieutenant governor Mandela Barnes. I thought it was a smart move, and he was there on behalf of Tony as well. And he acknowledged the governor, but it would have been nice to see Evers. Now, maybe Evers had a different event to go cover or, you know, press release.
Right, things
to
happen.
Go craft.
But that'd be a good one to show up to.
Well, yes. Yes, seeing Tony Evers in public would be a great thing. If Tony Evers wants to win re-election, you know, go do lefty talk radio. Hell, go do righty talk radio if necessary.
No, go on Fox News if you have to. They'll take anybody.
That's what I hear. Everyone but you!
Oh,
welcome back, Fancy Brian. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, little buddy. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We do it each weekday, 3 to 6 to 5 o'clock. Sort of an emphasis, though.
I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
His mama named Clee. I'm going to call him Clee.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Believe me.